The weather, it'll be breezy with showery rain over northern Scotland, but elsewhere it'll be mostly dry and sunny with just isolated showers. Don't forget all the latest political news and analysis on the Westminster Hour with Andrew Rawnsley tonight on Radio 4 at 10 o'clock. But that's the world this weekend. Studio production was by Stephen Wright. The editor was Tara Neal. I'm James Cox. Good afternoon.
I'm Alan Urey. I'm a reporter for File on 4. File on 4 is Radio 4's flagship investigative current affairs series. In the first programme, while we await a preliminary report into the failure of MG Rover, File on 4 has investigated company collapse. Are some PLCs propped up by accountants rather than money from what they sell? It certainly looks that way, but when it all comes crashing down, the directors walk away with millions, the staff are out of a job, the pension fund collapses, and the creditors are owed millions more.
File on 4 returns to BBC Radio 4 on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock.
In half an hour, the Gardener's Question Time team will be here with advice on the well-being of the plant world. That's at 2 o'clock. Now on BBC Radio 4, in our Sunday Best slot, another chance to hear the programme Knife to Skin. Graham Easton scrubs up to meet the transplant surgeon Nadi Hakim, and on the operating table, the married couple whose lives are about to change.
Now, we're just positioning the patient on his side. He's positioned, as you can see here, onto his right side so that we can remove the left kidney. We're just about to be ready to make the incision, as you can see, along the 11th rib. And this is, the classical incision. But in our case here, we do a fairly small incision. It's only 6 centimetres, which makes it much easier for the recovery of the patient.
You're watching the person you love slowly deteriorate in front of your eyes. She was always very lively, independent, done a lot for herself. I've seen that fall away because she was, as she says, she got up in the morning very nauseous, tired. It's a big decision, but it was an easy decision for me because I love her and I wanted to improve and have a better quality of life.
The moment I'm looking forward to is getting the anaesthetic, because then I know I'm on my way. You know, there's no turning back then. It's going to happen. There's nobody can turn around and say, oh no, can't do it now. It's there, and then the next exciting moment is to wake up and see William there, and he's fine and I'm fine.
Tomorrow is a big day for Anna and William MacDonald. They're at St Mary's Hospital in Paddington, London, both preparing themselves for a kidney transplant. Husband William is donating one of his healthy kidneys to his wife Anna, whose own kidneys are failing. It's also a big day for their surgeon, Nadi Hakim.
Tomorrow morning, around 8 o'clock, we'll send for the donor, who's the husband, William, who has very kindly offered one of his kidneys, which is the best present you can ever offer anyone, let alone your own wife. And around 8 o'clock, he'll be put to sleep by the anaesthetist. Obviously, the operation done under general anaesthetic.
You will be doing this operation?
Yeah, I'll be, when the patient is asleep, I'll be doing both operations. I do both donor recipient, and I like to do both because I know that procuring the kidney myself, I know what I've done. I know that I'll be putting it in myself.
That matters a lot to you, does it?
It does, because I think you'll never find someone else to scratch your back as well as you can do it. So that's why I believe that I prefer to do it myself and be sure that all is done properly. You see, I think out of all the procedures you can ever do, I mean, I do a lot of different surgeries, this is the most delicate and the most important surgery you can ever do, because you are dealing with a live donor who is a healthy donor, and you cannot go wrong. If you do go wrong, and I can tell you, some centers in the world, very famous big centers, initially had problems and stopped doing them because they run into trouble. This has to go well. You can't have 95%, 99%. It has to be 100%, because if something goes wrong, that's it. You will not carry on doing them, and the price is very heavy.
Well, they've told me all the risks, the things that can happen. And I mean, there's risks with every operation. They've told me all the benefits, and the benefits far outweigh the risks. There's so much to look forward to. They make it sound so exciting. They're confident. They use life when you go and see them, you might be down in the dumps and you come walking out the room and you're walking on air, because they just boost you up and make you feel that everyone's going to be okay, and they give you hope that you possibly wouldn't have anywhere else.
Yeah. Should I sell this on?
It's on 35.
Yeah, I could put it on 45. Nice, excellent. I don't see more things. We've just done an incision overlying the 11th rib. So we go deeper and deeper now, we're just down to muscle. And the incision we've just done is only 6-7 centimeters. And hopefully we don't have to extend it any further, because usually it should be enough. Having said that, this is a male, a gentleman. And usually muscles are much harder in males, because they're usually sportsmen. So the muscles are bound to be a bit harder.
The doctors have said that the one kidney will sustain me perfectly well. Well, one of them said to 96, but that may be pushing it a little bit.
What moment are you looking forward to afterwards?
Seeing Anna improve. I want to see. She's always had a spark in her eye, and you know, slightly dimmed at the minute, but I'm sure that'll come back after this operation.
Did you have to persuade William to go through this at all, or was it his decision, or how did you come to that decision?
I didn't ask. Just one day we were at the clinic. We didn't actually know about being unrelated, that you could use someone else's kidney. We thought it had to be a family thing, and he just happened to ask at the clinic one day, and I was taken aback because we had not discussed it. And he says, if you could use my kidney, would you have it? And he says, we'll try all the tests and things, and it came back that the blood group was incompatible. And then a couple of weeks later, they says we can do it because we've now got we're trying a new operation. It had been done twice and it was successful, and the option was ours whether we wanted to try it or not. And we do. He tends to worry more than what I do, because I'm in this situation. I know how I feel. He thinks he knows how I feel. And it's worse on him to stand there and watch. And he's so brave. I've never seen him so brave. Whether he's putting a face on thinking, well, I will for you, but he just doesn't seem worried about it at all.
This is the only way that I feel. I mean, when you're, at times, you feel useless. You can't do nothing to help. Being sick in the morning, etc., etc. And you stand there and you look at that person and you think, what can I do? And there's nothing you can do. And this is something that I can do.
In Anna's case, then, why does she need a kidney transplant?
She's been on dialysis for, I believe, a year, and she's diabetic. So her kidneys have failed, most probably because of diabetes. And she's indeed, in addition to being on the list for a kidney transplant, she is on the waiting list for a pancreas transplant.
Quite apart from the sort of social side of it, it is rather unusual medically, is it not, to have husband giving kidney to wife? Or
it is not the commonest, but surprisingly, studies have shown that if a husband or a wife donate to the partner a kidney, that kidney, even if it's not matched very well, will do better than a cadaveric kidney, which is very well matched. Which is, again, another miracle in a way, because how come it works? And there must be something going on, difficult to explain, why a live related, which is not matched, complete mismatch, would do better than a cadaveric, which is very well matched.
Why do you think that happens?
I mean, some hypotheses say, you know, because, you know, a married couple, they've got something in common, you know, from living together and, you know, having sexual relations, could very well potentially have this protection.
Or influence the immune system. That's
what people have suggested.
Transplanting a kidney between spouses is not very common, and it's not as straightforward as it might appear. Usually, your best chance of avoiding rejection by the immune system is to receive a kidney from a close blood relative, like a brother or a sister. Next best would be a parent. What makes the McDonald's operation possible is a new technique which involves treating Anna's blood to make rejection less likely. But the nuts and bolts of the surgery are the same.
Right angle, please. I just found the ureter. We need a sling. So
see the ureter. Sling, please. In the old days, this is how you used to remove the stones from the ureter. Small incision. Right ankle. Thank you. Now you see, we can already see the kidney, which is just this beautiful color there. We already got the ureter.
Extension, please.
So we're just dissecting the kidney free from all its adhesions. Okay, now the first thing we're going to do is, this is an important step, is transect the ureter.
So can you explain to me, if you like, the plumbing, to put it crudely, when you're putting the kidney into the recipient, Anna, which bits do you have to connect first?
So there are three structures you have to connect. The vein, it's a renal vein, the artery, renal artery, and the ureter to the bladder.
Which drains urine away from the kidney down to the bladder?
Down to the bladder, which would be close to where the patient's own ureters are, because each patient's got two ureters anyway, so we just have to find a space to put the third ureter. And the connections are obviously going to be stitching the vessels together. Actually, there are two moments which are very important in those two operations. The first one is when you remove the kidney from the recipient. This is where it is the most delicate, because you are clamping vessels which, you know, very sensitive and very, you know, very delicate, and this has to be completely bloodless. And the second thing is when you reperfuse that same kidney, which is white and bloodless initially, you unclamp the vessels of the recipient, and there it goes pink, and urine starts immediately coming out of the kidney.
Really?
This is the beauty. Yeah, you see the urine just coming out of the kidney almost immediately, and it's just gold coming out of this kidney. This is why this is the most fantastic thing, which, you know, it's a small miracle. We got this kidney which was in ice until just a few seconds ago. Pinks up almost immediately, and urine comes out of the kidney, and this is the beauty.
What happens after the operation? That's not, it doesn't finish there, does it?
No, I mean, this is only the beginning. That's why we have a team of surgeons, physicians working together. And I'm very fortunate at St. Mary's, we have a fantastic medical team looking after the patients with us, looking after every single aspect of a transplant. It's not only the plumbing. You have to look after the rejection, you have to look after the, you know, blocked catheters after the operation. And this is what is important, or even infection.
What sort of percentage would you expect to be rejected?
Actually, rejection doesn't mean that we lose the kidney. An episode of rejection is not uncommon. It's up to 8%. But this is reversible with the new drugs on the market. So rejection, complete rejection of the kidney is very rare. I mean, I think the figures we have at St. Mary's for the living-related transplants is the one-year graft survival is 97%. In other words, out of 100 kidneys put in, 97 are still in a year later, which is a fantastic result compared to what we used to see in 1980, which was 75%.
This is about the immunosuppressant drugs, the powerful drugs, and you're saying that you might get a sign of rejection and then alter the drug somehow and stop it from going through.
Exactly. That's why you need a medico-surgical team to follow those patients up. Retract a bit more idle, please. You can see. Good. So now you've got the artery isolated, we've got the ureter dissected and transected. We've got now the vein to do, and this is almost, the operation will be finished. So this is the beauty about this. We're almost going to be done.
At the moment, or in the recent past, what's a typical day like for you?
I get up in the morning. I don't eat very much in the morning because you tend to feel quite rotten in the morning. I don't drink very much all day. You're on a restricted diet with fluid. I get ready. I go to the dialysis unit. You sit and you wait and put on your machine. You can be there an hour before you're on your machine. I'm generally on the machine for 3 hours. And then, again, you get your blood pressure checked. You're there for another half hour. So it's about 4 or 5 hours out your day. And you come back home, and sometimes you're so tired, you just want to sit down all day afterwards. You don't go out because you feel a bit dizzy or a bit faint, and it's not worth going out. It's actually a whole day out of your life, you know, 3 days a week.
And that would go on and on and on if you weren't going to have a kidney transplant, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, there's no other. Yeah, that's the only option you have. There's different types of dialysis, but it's the only option you have to pick one of those and stick with it.
How have you prepared yourselves to get together for all this over the last few weeks? I mean, do you talk about it every day, or
we do most days supporting each other, really supporting each other all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, you have your it's always at the back of your mind, and it's nice to talk about it, and that's something we've done, you know, pretty often, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've spoke about it most days too, because our son, he worries because of Tuesday's going through the operation. So we try and pacify him that things is going to be okay. And we've shown him people that we've had a chap visit the house that's had the operation done too, so that he can see that this is what happens afterwards. That there's not just, he tends to look on the black side at times because it's both parents. But we try and build him up and think, well, we're all going to have a better life. So I think he's quite settled now, and he's taking it in his stride, actually. He's probably having a good time now. He's away staying with a friend, so he's okay.
Good, touch it. Stop. Now that's done. Away from the vein. With that.
As Nadi Hakim prepares to remove William's kidney, he has a few loose ends to tie up. Using a glorified staple gun, he seals the open stumps of the blood vessels that once supplied the organ.
Yeah, I'm just holding the kidney now, which I just removed from the patient. William's kidney is out. I'm just going to be flushing it now out of its own blood, the artery I have just prepared, so that I can flush the kidney out with this solution, which is called the UW solution, which is the University of Wisconsin solution, which is the preservation solution. And we always look at the bag to make sure that it's the right solution. Because it happened, unfortunately, that by mistake, the surgeon has been given the wrong solution. And what happens when you give the wrong solution? You destroy the kidney. And what a pity. And it has happened, unfortunately, more than once. So now I'm just flushing William's blood out of his own kidney. And you can see the kidney become white. And you carry on doing this until the outflow from the vein is clear. So that when you put it into his wife, Anna, then it's completely clear of the blood. And it's a beautifully preserved kidney. The ureter you can see nicely. The vein, the artery, and the capsule is completely intact, which means that we have not damaged any of the structures, which can be a problem when you put it in. And the kidney is completely white, meaning that, look at this, it's beautiful. Look, there's no blood coming out anymore, which means that we've done what we need to do. And now we will lead that kidney into this kidney dish, where it will be preserved until another half hour or so, until I'm ready to put it into Anna. And I can foresee that this should be a very good kidney for Anna, which will last a long, long time. So when the kidney is out, the recipient operation on Anna is even much simpler than the donor, because all you have to do is just dissect the vessels on the right side of her abdomen. These are called the iliac vessels because they go all the way into the leg. And just put William's kidney in Anna's body. And she's left with three kidneys. That's why people have got three kidneys. Those two kidneys which are not working, you leave them alone. You're not going to go and remove them.
God, I had no idea about that. That's really interesting.
What do people think? Yeah, it's a good question.
There's no risk of leaving those two kidneys.
No, because they're quite a long way from where we are anyway. Because you're operating here and the kidneys are on the back. At the back. You don't even want to see them.
And Anna won't notice a lump down, so this new kidney will be low down in her abdomen?
It is low, deep inside. She will not even notice. So now we're just positioning the patient on her back, putting the drapes, and then we're going to be making the incision on the right side of the abdomen, what we call a hockey stick incision, because it's the shape of the incision, called the hockey stick incision.
The first chapter of the operation over, now for part two, getting Anna's blood vessels and ureter ready to receive her husband's kidney.
So this is the vein, which is ready. The artery, which again is ready to be used. And then we are about to start the joining. Now I'll have the vascular clamps.
Do you remember when you decided to become a surgeon? Why did you decide?
Actually, it's funny. Since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a surgeon, not even a physician as such. I always liked anatomy and liked... even as a child, I had anatomy, you know, toys, etc., with hearts and lungs, etc. So I always liked it, and I don't think I would have ever done anything else. And the pleasure of being a surgeon, I think, is you can't describe it easily, but I think it is such a pleasure to fix something and see the results so quickly. I'm very impatient in what I do, and I wouldn't like to be, in a way, a physician and wait for the tablet to sort things out a month later, going back and seeing the patient saying, how are you feeling now? Look at the transplant. A patient has been on dialysis for sometimes 20 years, or a diabetic has been on insulin since the age of 5. Within 4 hours, he's not diabetic anymore. Within 4 hours, he's not on dialysis anymore. And you can't have better.
Are you quite an obsessive man when it comes to sort of the details of the surgery, maybe even your team getting things right?
It is very important to be obsessive what we're doing. But again, I compare it to a painting. You know, when you do a transplant, it has to look good. It's an art. I mean, the French call surgery the art of surgery. And I think, you know, when you cut the skin or you cut inside, if it looks beautiful to whoever is watching you, it means it has to be good. That's why I remember when I was training, and I used to like this particular surgeon or this particular teacher, because it looked beautiful. And when it's done properly, you forget about it. And this is, I think, the secret of a surgeon. If you're able to sleep at night without even remembering what you've done that day, because sometimes we do 5-6 operations, there's no way you can remember. If my wife asked him, what have you done today? I don't know. Luckily, I only have 2 or 3 sleepless nights a year. Otherwise, you can't do this job. If you're going to think about every single operation you do, it's impossible. You will have... I sleep beautifully.
Better than the patients, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. So now I've got my loops on. 11 blade, please. Now we're just measuring the size, because it really is just a question... Yeah, hold this. Question of plumbing, to measure exactly how big that vein is.
It's like watching an artist at work. With precision and delicacy, Nadi sews together the lips of the open ends of the blood vessels connecting husband and wife in a sort of surgical union.
One lip is on the other's lip, so the edge of the venotomy is just anastomosed, meaning joined, to the vein of William's kidney. As you can see, it just comes together as if it's always been there. So it's... And hopefully after I finish this, when I clamp the vessels, there will be no bleeding whatsoever. Every blood cell is very precious. You can't afford losing any blood. And now we have just completed the vein. Hold this, please. Hold it. Look at the vessels now, they're joined,
artery to artery, vein to vein. In shape again. Just checking again that my the joining is watertight before I unclamp it to the kidney. I'm going to now, this is the most important part of the operation, I unclamp the vessel, the artery first, and you can see the kidney becoming red. And I unclamp the vein, and it's back to life. It's beautiful. The color has, well, just within seconds, is back to normal. And now, very soon, we'll start seeing urine coming out. Take a few seconds. Warm saline?
Yep.
You see all this redness? It just pinks up beautifully. And now the kidney is back to normal. You know, it's 40 minutes after we started. It's all in. The kidney is just beautiful. You can see the artery. Look at this color. We, you know, it's as healthy as it was before. And you see, look at this. It's starting to come. Starting to come. Good. Now we're going to be doing the last bit of the operation, which is joining this ureter to the bladder. And then the operation is complete. So now, scissors.
What's the thing you're really looking forward to most about the change in your life after this operation?
Getting rid of the renal diet. Being able to eat things that I can't eat at the moment.
Like what? What can you eat?
Well, I can't eat bananas, crisps. You've got to...
Tomatoes.
I love tomato juice and things like that, and I can't drink that now.
So once the operation's over, give it a few days and you go out for a slap-up celebratory tomato juice and banana.
Banana daiquiri.
Banana daiquiri.
Yeah, I'll do, yeah.
Soon after the operation, Nadi visits William to check how he's getting on with just the one kidney.
Hello. Great news. Anna is doing very well. And we finished the operation and the kidney is working. And you're doing well. The remaining kidney is working very well. See, a lot of urine coming out of the remaining kidney, which is obviously what we like to see. And you've done just beautifully. You look as good inside and outside.
Thanks for that.
No, very good. And Anna is, we finished, she's awake, and there's absolutely no problem.
Thanks very much.
All right, well done.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. The drugs given to prevent rejection are taken forever, or as long as the kidney works. But the side effects are fairly minimal. Because we now have stopped, for instance, giving steroids after 1 week, corticosteroids, which used to be given forever. Eventually, there will be on only two drugs to take, which the side effects are minimal.
And do you think in Anna's case and William's case, life will be dramatically different for them?
Undoubtedly, especially that it's a couple. You can't show better love than that, than to offer your own kidney. Because it is... You know, although it becomes almost a routine operation, but this is a major surgery.
It is a wonderful gift that, you know, I'm giving to Anna. It's not something you can, no matter how rich you are, you can't walk into a shop and buy it. I just hope it all goes well for us.
And, I mean, I can't thank William enough. I've got no words to say to William because there isn't a word to express myself, really. You know, it's just... wonderful, and it's such an opportunity for other people out there to do, and just do it. Do it.
Knife to Skin was presented by Graeme Easton and produced by